Well, it's midweek podcast time again, and today, 11th of November, we're in John's Gospel, chapter 10. Let's pray as we begin. Psalm 29, verse 4 says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful, the voice of the Lord is majestic." Father, please help us now to see the power and the majesty in the voice of the Lord Jesus as we listen to his words of grace and truth. Amen. Well, I'm reading from John 10, verses 22 through to 32. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" And John 10 is a lovely chapter in the middle of this gospel, as it speaks with such tenderness in these beautiful pastoral images of Jesus as both the gate for the sheep and their shepherd. Twice Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." The sheep are, of course, those who follow him, those who recognise his authority and treasure the security that he provides for them. But as well as this tenderness, the chapter is full of tension as Jesus' words get under the skin of the religious authorities. What has so riled them? Well, the tension has been building up over several chapters. But in verse 8, Jesus has made the astonishing claim that all who have come before me are thieves and robbers. Jesus is implying that the religious leaders didn't care for the sheep. Their shepherding was woefully lacking. They ran away when trouble came. They were not good shepherds. So it is a hostile group that gathers round him in verse 24, and a hostile question they ask. "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Did they really want to know whether or not Jesus was their promised rescuer? Of course not. Despite the evidence of the miraculous signs, they'd already ruled out that possibility. They simply wanted him to incriminate himself, to build their case for having Jesus dealt with. And in verse 32, as they pick up their stones, they feel they have their justification for doing away with him. But I'm not wanting to dwell today on the tension and shocking opposition to Jesus, but only to note that it is against this backdrop that Jesus speaks these comforting words to those who will listen to his tender and compassionate voice. Jesus is not fazed by opposition, wherever it may come from. The school bully, the quick-tempered boss, the vicious gang leader, the brutal dictator might strike terror into our hearts, but Jesus cannot be cowed by such threats. His silence cannot be bought. In fact, I think it's true to say that fear is one very human emotion that Jesus never experienced, despite his being fully human. Yes, he experienced pain and anguish, sorrow and grief. He could be deeply troubled, but he was never afraid. As John was to say later in his first epistle, "But perfect love drives out fear. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." Jesus was constantly challenging and rebuking his would-be followers for their fear. Remember Jesus in the boat with his disciples in Matthew 8. "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" We fear because we are not yet made perfect in love. But Jesus loved his heavenly Father perfectly and trusted him entirely. He knew he had nothing and no one to fear. And doesn't that so wonderfully strengthen the value of his tender words to his flock, to those who listen for his voice and listen to his voice? This is the voice of the one whom no one can intimidate. Jesus has the authority and the power to ensure that what he says happens. And what does he say? Look at verse 28. Do drink in these words. If you've put your trust and hope in Jesus, these words are about you. And if you're not sure where you stand with Jesus, then do let these words draw you to him until you know in your heart that they are true for you. He says, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Who's giving you this gift? Jesus is, personally, out of his abundant kindness and mercy and generosity. It's his present to you, bought with his own blood. There's no charge. You can't buy it. Only receive it with thanksgiving. What does this gift mean for you? Well, there's no expiry date set on your life. In fact, the only expiry date is on the sin and sickness and death that spoil your life now. Because this gift of life is life as God meant it to be, life in all its fullness. But we may think, whilst I still live in this messed up world, couldn't someone or something take me away from Jesus so that I miss out on this life? What if persecution comes, or I lose my mind, or COVID gets me? Jesus says, "No one will snatch you out of his hand. He has ultimate authority over your life. And if he says no one can take you away from him, then persecution and dementia and COVID are powerless to do so." And Jesus says he has the full backing of his Father to keep you safe. Verse 29. "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Well, let's rejoice in these great truths as we pray now. Father, thank you that Jesus is our good shepherd, that you have given us into his care. Thank you that as he gave up his own life, he is able to give us this life that is full and free and never ends. Thank you that we will have time without limit to explore the wonder of your works and the beauty of your character. Thank you that in Christ our future is in the safest place it could possibly be. Please help us to hear more clearly the voice of Jesus, to recognise that voice, to love that voice, and to follow where he leads us in faith and obedience. Help us to follow even through the valley of the shadow of death. And even in those dark places, may we fear no evil, knowing that none can snatch us from your hand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, we want to pray today for our mission partner, the Delhi Bible Institute, and particularly for their annual Word Conference, which is on at the moment this week. We pray that many pastors and church planters from across North India will be able to join in online for at least some of the sessions and be much encouraged in hearing the voice of Jesus speaking through his word. And as many of them face real persecution, may Jesus' voice calm their fears and give them great courage and boldness to share the hope of eternal life. Again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And finally, a prayer for Remembrance Day. O God of love and liberty, we bring our thanks today for the peace and security we enjoy. We remember those who in time of war faithfully served their country. We pray for their families and for ourselves whose freedom was won at such a cost. Make us a people zealous for peace, and hasten that day when nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither learn war any more. This we pray in the name of the one who gave his life for the sake of the world, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I hope you've been encouraged by God's word today. Thanks for listening in. And do remember it's our annual church meeting at 8 p.m. this evening, followed by prayer. Do join us on Zoom if Barkham is your church.